We all have a need for art. We just do. So during this lockdown, the Trenton Community 18 artists are going online with their first fine art auction. It's going to be held from June 8th to July 8th online. So what do? You go to 18artists.net, click on the auction button, and you'll find the art you love. And by buying it, you're helping a low-income Trenton artist make up some of his or her lost income. You could also find information on that artist and how Trenton Community A-Team at 51 North Stockton Street in Trenton is building both self-esteem for the artists and enhancing the Trenton community. Trenton Community A-Team supports, develops, and promotes the art produced by self-taught Trenton artists because art is transformative and it reframes the artist's connectedness to self and others while enhancing the community. Now, normally the Trenton Community A-Team presents the artist's work at local venues, but this pandemic has now encouraged TCAT to move to the web with this auction and direct internet sales. So again, what do? You go to 18artists.net, A-Team Artists, that's right, plural, more than one artist, ateamartists.net. Click on the auction button and show your appreciation for some Trenton creativity and get a sweet tax deduction at the same time. 30% of the sales purchase and your donation goes to the Trenton Community 18 nonprofit for supplies, rent, and other expenses, and 70% of that money goes directly to the artists. How cool is that? So please like it, share it, enjoy the auction. ateamartists.net. Click on auction and away you go. You only have till July 8th. Sasso out.
Social distancing got you down? Tired of scrolling the same bad news? Miss your local music scene? Well, we've got you covered. Digital video experts Front Row Seat Productions and podcast gurus New Pod City have teamed up to bring you Feed the Music live stream, a brand new platform that brings the live music event directly into your home. Now you can live stream your favorite local music venue for only $5. The money collected goes to support the musicians performing the music. That's right, your $5 subscription goes a long way. From getting a front row seat at the live event, to access of the recording for 30 days after, bonus swag, and most importantly, financially supporting the musicians. Sign up today at feedthemusiclivestream.com.
This is Jason and
Isaac
from Verbal Smash, and you're listening to Trenton
Waves. It's on the New Pod City Podcast Network.
Woo!
Yay!
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Hey, podcast,
yeah. Yeah, it's been a while since we did a show.
No. What about Andrew Wilkinson?
Oh, Wilco?
Yes, Roger Wilco.
That guy was so weird. He was weird.
He's not weird.
He was dressed in a very disturbing, unnerving way.
Because he was wearing a mask.
COVID didn't help. But
he was wearing a mask and reflective glasses.
Listen,
so,
a hat. You're going to put COVID-19 restrictions on his already weird getup.
He was the invisible man.
Yes. Right. Fully clothed, because how would we know if he was visible under that? You mean there's more to that that's visible? I'm not interested. Anyway, we love you, Wilco.
Yes. It's very hot in here.
It's really hot in this freaking studio.
I think it's set on 77 and it won't go anywhere else. I've lowered it to 62 and I still don't feel
it. Means nothing. And I'm going to tell you, Erin,
this is all Erin.
I know you're listening, Erin. I'm going to get you back for this.
It's very hot here.
Oh,
it's very muggy, hot.
I put it down to
today.
58 before just to see what would happen.
Nothing.
It got hotter.
Nothing's happening.
Anyway, I almost forgot we have a guest.
Yes.
Here. Yeah.
Sorry
there, guest.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, this guy, here's the thing. I have.
Don't start.
I told my wife earlier, I said, listen, I listened to he has a podcast with Tony Goggles and Sarah Casey.
I know.
Called What They Should Have Done. We'll get into that. But he's very elusive. I got to sit with Sarah and I got to sit with Tony, and it's cool. And you know Tony G, he's all over the place. But this guy, he can rap and he's white. He's a white guy.
That doesn't mean that you can rap.
Quiet.
Because I know where you're going with this, mm-hmm. and I forbid you to rap.
Forbid me to rap?
It doesn't work.
Really? You forbid me?
You really stink.
I think my rapping is great in the shower when you're not home.
That's fine. That's good for everybody.
Anyway, I have like this kind of like a man crush on Raymond Strife.
Okay.
It's like a fanboy thing.
I know.
And then he apparently was trying not to go fanboy on me.
Wow.
And it was like a whole like...
Do you want me to leave? Would you like me to leave?
No, you stay right here. Don't go anywhere. Because I don't even trust this guy. And I don't even know him. I don't know what he's capable of. He's friends with Tony G. What could he, you know?
Oh, dear. All right, well, I didn't find him elusive. I found him because there was a post on Facebook, and I found that he was selling T-shirts. So that's how this all came about. Yes.
So that's what this is
about. Let's promote this.
Oh, well, right. That's what this is
Somebody
about.
Doing something good in Trenton. I like that.
Okay.
There's a lot of folks like that. A lot.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Yeah, you're getting very abrasive right now.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Let's begin.
Okay. So we have sitting here with us a man who really doesn't even need an introduction. This guy is a rapper. He's an actor. He's an artist. He's a fashion designer. He's a musician.
A bicycle.
He's a bicycle
aficionado.
Guy. Is he really?
Yes.
Would you find that out when you were standing outside?
Yes, I did.
Like, how did you know that about Raymond Strife? And I like that his last name is Strife. We'll get into that too, I think.
Okay.
So without further ado, podcastia, please welcome Raymond Strife.
Right.
You hear that crowd, right?
Yeah.
They like you, man.
Yeah, that happens every time I walk in any room.
Wow.
Just a crowd. Just there could be two people
even
in the room.
If there's nobody in the room.
It sounds like hundreds.
Usually if booze is involved.
And you're a boozer, too.
Occasionally.
You got tats. You're all tatted up over there. You don't have any piercings, however, which is weird.
I'm not a big fan of the piercings.
And you got like a sort of a corporate haircut.
Yeah. Yep. I'm an enigma
wrapped in
a riddle. He's an enigma wrapped in a riddle.
Yes.
Enigma. Edward Enigma.
Yes.
These
Batman fans look at that.
These like, it's PG. We do a PG podcast here.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I had a feeling he was going to ask that because Tony and Sarah, when they came on the show, episode 9, Are You Offended Yet? They were like, I'm going to curse. I'm like, all right, dude, whatever, just do your thing. And at the end of the show, I can't believe I didn't curse. Yeah, right. I can't believe it, I didn't even curse.
I just almost dropped an S-bomb right off the bat.
It's okay, there's editing. This isn't live.
Yeah.
So. It's like this like cornball white dude haircut I have is just like kind of a staple in like a hardcore community.
No, I think it actually works.
Yeah,
it's good.
Started wanting to look not like a hobo one day. And started getting a clean cut.
A hobo. You know? I love that he said hobo.
I love that word.
Another word, a great one would have been bum.
Yeah.
Right. I'll take hobo.
I think hobos and bums are different. And then there's homeless people. We had this conversation.
Well, a homo is more... A hobo?
Yeah. Could be a gay hobo. That's okay.
I'm sure you can.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
A homeless guy...
I don't think we need
just
to...
Is down on his luck... Is has
there's
a bad,
issues? Maybe something happened.
An issue.
Right.
A bum is just a guy who has better shoes than me.
Well, no, it's a mental thing. I think for me, this is all my opinion. Don't get all up on me.
Tell us about how you feel about
a bum. Is someone that like they look perfectly healthy, they sound healthy, they sound educated, they dress pretty nicely, and they just don't want to work.
They have a sign with vinyl letters.
Yeah, they'd rather just.
Right, like a bum is just like the word bum. Like it's an insult.
Right, it's not like it's not like an identifying thing. It's more like, come on.
I think like if you don't want to work, I don't even care.
Listen, I get the whole I don't want to work.
Right.
Can't believe me.
Like, you work and I'll get paid not to work. If that was a thing, why not?
That's what my girlfriend's doing for me right now.
What?
Just paying me not to work.
She's paying you?
Not really.
But it's just how it's working out.
We were talking about it last night because we were talking about like maybe getting a second dog. And I was like, so what are you going to do? You're going to pay me to stay home all day with the dogs? Because we can barely take care of the one.
What does she do?
She's a teacher. She works for Isles. And this is embarrassing. Oh, she's been working on the Teen Arts Festival the past 2 years. So these are three jobs that she's been doing. Oh.
And which one of those jobs is the most embarrassing for you?
Oh, it's embarrassing that I don't remember what she does.
Oh, that's embarrassing. That's
terrible. Okay.
I thought he was embarrassed by his girlfriend. Who's
no.
Three
oh,
jobs
no.
to support this guy and another dog.
I'm embarrassed about myself when I talk about her. And it's, She's a go-getter.
What's her first name?
Sophie.
Sophie, we're sorry, Sophie.
She won't listen. About everything. If I'm involved, she won't listen.
She's over you already?
She'll listen to all your other ones. She won't listen to the Race Drive.
Oh, see, I'll listen to your shows. Man. I still have a crush on you. All right. All right, so let's get into this now. I think we have exhausted the bum question.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Go ahead, Chris.
So this is a question I ask all our Trentonians. And the question is, what in your journey of life brought you to Trenton?
Oh, I was born here.
Oh.
Then I was raised in Lawrence, like South Lawrence, mm-hmm. by the Lakelands, actually. From there, I lived in Pittsburgh for a little while, and then I lived in New Brunswick for a couple years. Mostly, I've been doing, you know, punk bands and rap stuff, and mm-hmm. a bunch of friends just moved up there. It's like the most basement show having area ever. Like, New Brunswick is like a punk staple for house shows. We did that for a couple of years at a couple houses, and then I was living in this house called America, like any of your punk listeners would know. The house is called America. It's just a bad joke. It was like at one point like 18 people were living there, and it was like a converted office building. It was like 8 real bedrooms, but then like people were cramming in left and right.
Sounded like a bunch of bums.
It was a nice fire hazard, I think.
New Brunswick is an expensive place to be a bum. But then, you know, half my friends moved to Brooklyn to, like, pursue punk rock stuff. And the other half moved back here and live above Championship Bar. And I was kind of still floating around. I was, like, couch surfing with different friends and my girlfriend at the time. And eventually, I was living on Stuyvesant Ave, but on the Ewing side. And I started dating a girl, and we moved to Chambersburg. And I was kind of, a bum was a good word for me at that point.
You were bumming around.
I was drinking a lot and mm-hmm. partying more than anything and mm-hmm. just working to get all that done and get the rent paid. And one day I kind of like...
Get it done.
I work to drink.
Very busy today.
I kind of mapped from my late teens through my 20s, kind of like made my life work around how much I wanted to party versus like going to shows, and I just made it work.
Okay. So he has that responsibility.
Yes.
He has it in
him. Yeah, well, nobody's paying my bills till now, so Sophie. But we pay the bills equally, all right? She just owns the house. Right. I'm still paying all the right. PSCNG. Yeah, I always work because... no one was paying for me. So one day I kind of straightened up. I just kind of woke up one day like, you're kind of just doing the same thing over and over again for a decade. And really, that's when I started riding my bike. I was already living in Trenton, but I was basically just drinking to the two same bars. And that's the only people I'd see. And once I started riding my bike, I became so much more involved in the community.
Wow.
And I just was getting up earlier and seeing people who really live here instead of just the night owls.
Wow.
And I like re-fell in love. I was already in love with the city for all the wrong reasons, you know, just being a party animal. And then I just seeing all the people working hard to make it better every day.
All right.
Opened up a whole new part of me.
And you fell in love all over again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I just love it here. I traveled a lot for music. I love traveling. My three favorite cities besides Trenton are probably Paris, Montreal, New Orleans.
Mm.
And I'd still rather live here, to be honest. I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I just love it here.
So cool. We hold up pretty well against those cities, right?
Paris, New Orleans, come on.
And
absolutely.
Trenton beats them.
When you say that to people on the road, they don't believe you. But I've never had a touring band or rapper come here and not be like, let me know when I can come back.
Every time.
That's awesome.
That's so good to hear.
Can't speak higher, more highly of Trenton.
Wow.
After they've played a show here.
That's reminiscent of what Bill Nobbs was saying about the music scene. That's mm-hmm. why he did Analog Trenton.
Mm-hmm. I listened to that episode. Mm-hmm. I love Bill Nobbs. He's a good guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew he was a drag queen?
Yeah. He
did you find out on that episode?
No. We've talked
already
about
knew
it before.
That?
Yeah, because
come on, Bill.
Sophie loves drag culture, too. We've had some conversations about that.
Yeah. What was his name? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember.
Flavine.
Right. He's moved past that now. He's doing other stuff. I know you're obsessed with
this. I am obsessed with it.
A little known fact. Frank used to do a little bit of dabbling in the drag.
Yeah, for 6 months. I trod the boards of drag.
That's how, it's not how we met, but it was like one of the attractive things.
Qualities about me.
He did Frankenfooter for many months.
Okay.
6
he
months,
actually
rocking her.
Had long hair.
Long, thick black hair, man.
That's awesome.
And a tan.
And a tan.
You got a tan right now, man.
And that's just hair. Oh, it's just dark hair. Yeah, so anyway, back to Trent. This is really encouraging. I love hearing this wonderful things about, and you know what, it's so true. I posted something like, if you don't get Trenton, you just need to shut up and sit down, because like there are people outside of Trenton in the suburbs, which I call blighted, that just like, oh, I'm not, I can't go in there. I can't go there. It's, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
You know?
I couldn't agree more. It's actually like a really big deal, which I don't know what to address. It's kind of like kind of rooted in racism, I think. I think because I feel like I was taught growing up in Lawrence, like I was scared to come to Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had no info except like what was presented to me by like parents and teachers.
Right.
And I don't think any of them were trying to be racist, but I think there's something there where they're like generations removed from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it like something they left behind, like we can't, like it was ruined for us and we can't, and then that gets passed down from generation to generation, like with different language,
right?
And I talk about this all the time because I don't ever want to act like I didn't grow up where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm Captain Trenton when I'm on the road, you know, so I just like to admit that, and it bothers me that I wasn't here embracing it sooner and being part of a bigger community. In the suburbs, there isn't a great community. You're far away from each other on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
When my dad left, like my mom had to like work and keep us in that house, and all our neighbors were really mean to us. Like, and I didn't get it growing up. It was like a desperate housewives club.
Really?
Being mean to my mom for being like a single working mom.
Wow.
You know? And it was like really growing up. It almost hurts worse now because I didn't fully understand it then.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like I don't talk about it. Whatever. I'm on a podcast. I'll open up. But like my dad is like kind of a criminal. And like we have the same name. So he'd be in the paper. And my neighbors, I'm a kid, you know, I'm like in my early teens. And my mm-hmm. neighbors would like, oh, Saul, you're in trouble again. Oh,
right,
oh.
Right.
And it's like, first off, if I was, it's none of your business. But
right.
Second off, like, I'm a child.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they're like,
and they're adults. I'm
they're
assuming.
Mocking
yeah.
me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
like,
right, right.
like, they have nothing better to do. And yeah. I don't have a lot of fond memories of that. And I've never been more miserable than going to school in the suburbs and growing up in the suburbs. And mm-hmm. I was just depressed. And growing up was probably the hardest time of my life, to be honest. And
mm-hmm. really? Wow.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. You just got to be open-minded when mm-hmm. you have kids and stuff. Like, there's no... And this place is a perfect example of that. There's so much good here.
Yes.
For someone to hear about a shooting or see something they don't like and then discount a whole culture.
Right.
A whole
right,
city exactly. is, like, right. so crazy to me. Like,
just because of some idiots that aren't even
right.
from Trenton.
Right.
When you just hear the news. Because, first of all, I don't know what people don't understand about the news. They're never really going to go with the good news.
Right. Never.
It's always going to be... They're going to try and find the worst thing that they can possibly promote, and that's
the name of the game yeah. here, man. Like, what, 11 years of Art All Night completely successful and no problems, and then
mm-hmm.
1 year
mm-hmm.
so, and then the whole country knows about Trenton Art
right,
All Night
right.
And what they say, the dude in Philly, he goes, well, that's what you get for trying to do that in Trenton. And it's like, yeah, no. Hey, are you in the media? Maybe do your research, bro.
Right.
We just did it successfully
right.
for
yeah,
more
exactly.
than a decade,
right?
So why don't you shut your trap?
I like this guy.
And
I really like him.
I do think that the more people try and do that, the more we as Trentonians rise up and like
yes.
just say, yeah, now we're gonna show you.
That's
like
right.
Not off.
Well, that's what
Trentonians
it is.
Assemble.
Well, people too, like I'm almost getting too old to do it, but I've been entertaining for a long time and everyone goes, well, you moved to LA, you moved to New York. And it's like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I do what I do because I'm from here.
Right.
Like, I have a passion for this because of the way I grew up here, seeing DIY punk and DIY hip hop here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did try to move, and it was, I mean, I had my fun, but I would always rather be here. If you play a show in New York or LA, it sucks. It sucked. It could be the best show I've ever played. I played some really good shows in New York, if they're not in Manhattan, if they're in, like, Queens or Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a couple decent shows in LA, but, like, it's a bunch of transplants. There's no community. Everybody does what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's right. trying to get ahead. Everyone's mm-hmm. backbiting. Everyone wants to... What are you going to do? You live in Brooklyn. You go, are you going to the show tonight? Which one? You know, there's 300.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Trenton, we have like three. Every time there's a show, there's three shows. But like, it's so oversaturated. I couldn't even, my friends who moved up there, I couldn't believe it. I don't know how they pay the rent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even understand. It's still got to be so expensive.
I grew up in Brooklyn. So my experience of Brooklyn is probably similar to your experience in Trenton, but we didn't leave. We stayed in Brooklyn, and I saw it change. It changed in good ways. It changed in bad ways. But I think what I'm grateful for is that I grew up in a really diverse
right.
school and school systems. I went to Catholic school, but it was always really mixed. And my friends were all different races. So I think that's why I'm kind of the way I am today.
Right.
Not because my parents were... weren't, maybe a little, but I always like would be at fight with them and like argue with them, and that would be that. But now that when you say Brooklyn, I think, oh, I've been back there. It's,
oh man,
it's unrecognizable, yeah, to me, because it's not that community feeling anymore. Right. Now it feels like, who are these people that live here?
Right.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I went back for a reunion, and the girls that live that still live in the neighborhood were like, my parents bought this house for like $5,000. Now it's worth $3 million.
Right, yeah, for sure. And it's like, one great thing about living in Trenton is like, you can go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
You can live here and, mm-hmm, and have your city life here, and you can go to New York. You can go to Philly. You can go to the beach. Mm-hmm. You can go to the mountains.
Yes.
That's what I try to explain to people. I'm like, you want to gamble? We got AC. Like, you got everything. You just hop on a train.
Right.
It's That's the easiest it. Thing in the world.
Or ride your bike.
Right. And
ride your bike.
And I didn't mean to like make it sound like I hate New York or LA.
No,
like,
I get it.
I have a blast every time I go, but I'll go up and spend 3 days with rappers I know in like Queens, or mm-hmm, even in like West New Jersey, and they just go to New York every night,
mm-hmm,
like West New York, New Jersey. And like, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And then after I stay one night, I'm like, bro, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I know I said I'd be here for 2 days, but I can't do this.
I still want to do that show, Who Stole New York? Because
well, Frank's from Queens, so that's another spot.
I was gonna say, you guys got accents.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it's obvious.
I was listening to Trenton Waves. Yeah, you guys got thick accents.
Oh,
thick accents.
Yeah,
I thought mine was gone already.
You got a little on the end. Yours is still there for sure.
I try to do a British accent, like pretend I'm from like.
Well, she's 6% Scottish, which makes her 100% British.
Anyway, so just talking about bicycling, do you know that Ray cycled to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, do you know that Ray Ingram cycled to Philadelphia? I was already picturing Ray Ingram on a bike.
No.
Which I can't even picture. We're just
talking about Rays. No, yes.
Just different Rays.
All right, so Ray, what did you do?
Oh, I ride to Philly a couple times just in the summer.
How do you go?
You can take, it's like old Route 13. You cut through, you take like a Trenton makes, and you just cut through, you know, Levittown, and it takes you down like it's an industrial way. It's not Route 13, but it's called, mm-hmm, Old 13. It's all,
oh, okay.
You end up cutting through some suburbs, and then it becomes industrial for a while. And then eventually, there's twists and turns. I'll be real with you.
You told my wife about this while I was still in here recording with another show?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me tell you, first of all, thanks for that, number one. Number two, as you're saying it again, I'm looking at her, and her eyes are lighting up. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be on a bike going to Philly soon.
Don't worry, we'll get you a new seat.
I need a new seat. I can't be sitting on a metal pipe.
One thing that's nice is Philly, when you get to Philly, there are so many bike lanes. I have friends from Philly, when they ride in Trenton, they're like, dude, this is a whole different beast. Like, I can't believe you ride here every day. Because drivers here just don't get it.
Right.
They want you on the sidewalk, but if they were walking, they'd want you in the road.
Right.
You know? So, but when you get to Philly, you know, you do have to, the way I took, I put the GPS in, you know, I don't memorize it. I don't look at a map. But like my friend Caleb, he memorizes his best route on a map.
Like an actual paper map?
Yeah, and then
that's me.
And then he writes down notes.
That's what she does.
And
what is that?
And I get it. I think it's amazing, but I'm like, I have this convenience. Yeah, I pay monthly for it. I'm going to use it.
She's writing out this whole navigation system on a piece of paper, which is a map, which is printed, it's folded.
And I try and memorize it.
It's like, smart.
What are you, Magellan?
It's smart to have, too, in case your phone craps out or your phone on a longer ride, but... I like the phone too, though, because if something goes wrong, I can take a different route easily.
Right. Tells you when there's work being done on the road. Yeah, it updates you. A map doesn't do that.
No. It's good to have both.
Look,
you could be a cartographer.
What is that? Siri. Someone works for maps?
Yeah.
Right. Don't throw out $100 words. This is our show. Listen, I don't like maps. And here's a perfect example. Remember in the movie Speed? You would know this.
Yep.
In the movie Speed, the guy is trying to tell Keanu Reeves what road to take because the bus is speeding. He can't slow down because the bus will blow up. Spoiler alert, the bus blows up without anybody on it.
But
if you haven't seen it by now, too bad. So what happens is they have to change direction because they hadn't finished the road yet.
Yeah,
on the map,
yeah,
it's finished. But in real life, it's not finished. It's finished on the map, they yell out.
That's LA for you.
And that's not cool. So how do you know when you're looking at a map, it's even true? Silence. Exactly.
It used to be our best method.
Yes. It used to be, but now we have Siri.
Real-time satellites tracking your road.
Right. And tracking you as well.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay. By the way, there were three CDs here on the table. What are these all about?
Those are for you.
We can keep these?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. I love gifts.
They're just CDs.
I know you do.
I love the guests that bring us stuff. Hey, podcast, you listen to me. If you're thinking about coming on this show, bring something with you. It's always good.
No.
And I know she's going to say no, but I'm telling you.
He said that while I was swallowing water.
Exactly. I'm trying to get it out.
It's just polite. Just good manners.
It's just polite to bring your host something.
We appreciate it.
There you go.
I'm just promoting.
I mean, even a bum like Ray knows to bring something.
I got a haircut.
For today?
Well, no, but I just got one.
I was going to say, it's an audio show, dude.
Oh, my God. I looked like Wolverine before.
That's how I feel.
Last 2 months.
I don't have any sympathy. All right. So now Ray's a rapper.
Yes, I know.
And we saw him rap at Mill Hill Saloon.
I know. I think it was Ardell Day.
Oh, that's great. You guys were at that?
Yes,
that's cool.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Let me tell you, he is so good. One CD is called Over Everything, and then a tagline of Hard Feelings. And then another one is called Raymond Strife, Ill Omega.
That's my good friend
Darnell. Producer.
That's Go for the Gusto.
Go for the Gusto. And then finally, Raymond Strife, Ill Omega, Goodbye Chambersburg. What is that all about, Goodbye Chambersburg?
I moved to Mill Hill.
Really?
I was in Chambersburg for almost 6 years, and then it was a big part of my life, and it was a tough decision, but Sophie bought a house, so I moved.
And you live in now?
Jackson Street. We're neighbors. I hope no one comes after me.
You hear that, everybody?
You have to knock on all the doors.
I'm a rich, famous rapper.
Looking for Ray Strife on Mill Hill on Jackson Street.
They want your autograph.
So I'm looking on the back of this. Deadwood. What is Deadwood? What is that about?
Deadwood is, it's the HBO TV show, Timothy Olyphant.
Right.
A lot of times I draw from different sources of inspiration, and quotes are a big one for me. If someone says something inspiring, sure. I'm like, oh, and there's just a great line in Deadwood where he kind of makes a deal with the bad guy and he's feeling like he sold out. And his friend's like, day ain't over yet. I was like, yeah, man, I love that. Like, I love like when you're beating yourself up and everything's wrong and it's like, all right, now what? I'm a big fan of it's kind of never too late.
Absolutely.
You know, no matter what you think you can't undo or what's over, there's always a way to focus up and do better next time. At
Absolutely.
Least, you know, if you're alive. You know,
yeah, that's it. I agree.
I'm a big like regret guy. Like growing up, I was like, live fast, die young, no looking back. But then you don't die. and you just kind of have to keep going. And then
you're like, now what?
And then you do have like a lot of regrets and you got to keep you up at night. So I'm a big regret guy. So but my ultimate, even I always have been though, even like high school or something, some kid like pushes me around and then for a year I stew on it. And then the next year I pick a fight with him, you know, and they're like, what is this? And I'm like, it's never too late, Deadwood, you know.
And he's just trying to, like, you know, wheel his baby carriage down.
Yeah, right. He's doing way better.
He's just maniac hitting him in the head with a brick.
He just remembers that we were friends. He doesn't even have a negative perception of it. But I just think it's a good philosophy because you can sit there all day and be upset with stuff you've done or stuff you didn't do. All you can do is try to mentally prepare yourself to do better next time you're in a similar situation. Yeah. That's a kind of a big
Deadwood.
Philosophy.
I like that. Do you rap next? In Deadwood?
Yeah.
Can we play some of it now?
Sure.
Here we go. Deadwood by Raymond Strife.
Raymond Strife, I'm running this. The day ain't fucking over yet. I'm not sure who I've become, but face the day and move ahead. I'm not trying to waste my time by letting things make me upset. If you want, destroy my sweater. Walk away and pull this thread. Ill Omega on the beat. Don't take us as a minor threat. Threaten is the city, and I ain't seen one that's finer yet. I've been all around the world, but it don't go right to my head. Love will always blossom in a city occupied by death. Moving to the other side of town, it's kind of nuts to me. House in the new neighborhood is like the lap of luxury. With a lady that I really love who puts her trust in me. Also glad to have a mom who's proud of what her son could be. A man who's pushing middle age, who wraps around the whole country and doesn't get too much for pay except for all the friends he meet. I wouldn't trade a second of it just to get some more money.
Rap my ass off on that one.
See, he wrapped his ass off. I love that. He sounds good.
I know.
I could sound like that, I think.
No.
You can be on our next Tony G and me when we do our Beastie Boys track. I think
you
got a voice for that.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'll do that. We'll wrap the end credits.
Yeah. The end credits of
Jim Gordon is a friend of mine.
Tony's going to be so mad I told you.
Executive
that.
Producer, William Neese. Now, who's this on the back of the CD with you?
That's Ill Omega.
That's Ill Omega.
My good friend Darnell. He's the best producer around. Another Trenton.
He lives in Trenton?
He lived at Kingsbury Towers. He lived in the low rises, and now he's in Lawrence with his mom.
What did you call them?
The low rises over next to the rises. Towers.
Okay, yeah, you know, that's something else.
Now he's in Lawrence with his mom and his kids. He's just waiting to come back. I think.
Oh, he wants to come back.
I think he had to move for some reason. And
right.
All right. Well, we can have him on the show too.
We did most of our recording in the over at Kingsbury, and it was like inspirational too to be over there to do that. And it's awesome. He's my favorite person to work with. No offense to any other people I work with. It just you have those things where you just click.
You had a chemistry with
him. I could write all day without music, and then when I walk up to the stairs to his apartment, I could hear him making a beat, and it just comes. They just come together like that second.
So you also mentioned DIY. Is that affiliated with DIY films?
No, just like do-it-yourself punk and hip-hop. They're a big part of my life. Yeah, it's like
interesting.
That's what basement shows. That's like just the way I kind of came up doing music. I was listening to your episode with Bernard, which is funny because inadvertently he kind of helped start my whole Trenton music career because...
he's been on three episodes. Which one?
Well, you guys were talking about TCC.
Oh, TCC, oh, okay.
Right. And Trinity Cathedral, when I was like in my late teens, was like one of the only DIY spots doing punk shows in Trenton. And that's my old band. Used to play there constantly. I got posters all over my house, Trinity Cathedral.
Oh, really? Where did you used to play in the cathedral?
I guess it was like one of the main rooms, and they just moved like the pews out.
Oh, wow.
It almost looked like a gymnasium, but there was like Catholic stuff in the basement and windows.
Was it
in the basement? No, right in the main floor, by the back entrance there.
Bernard took us on a tour of it, and there were a lot of different sanctuaries, but I think I remember that one. Yeah.
I don't know what's more fascinating, that story about Trinity Cathedral, where he would do the DIY stuff, or that he listened to the show.
I was looking for a new podcast to listen to, and you guys reminded me, because I've been very... I don't like a lot of podcasts. It's a really hard thing for me to break into. I listen to you guys, my own, just to remember what we said. And I listen to The Office Ladies and Conan, the only
Conan. Two other ones. Earwolf Studios.
Yeah.
Earwolf is a very good friend of ours.
Dude, that show is awesome.
Yeah, it's a great show. He does a great show.
But and Office Ladies is like, I lived this whole life without like normal people. Right? So I like to hear Pam and Angela talk, and they're just like such sweet, normal people, and they just talk about their lives and their kids, and they talk about the show. They just watch The Office.
What Angela was talking about.
Gotcha.
So like to me, I'm just like, oh man, that's so they're gonna knit, they're gonna do this thing this weekend. Like I just love hearing about their lives.
You might like Bella and Me.
Yeah, you would like Bella and Me.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah.
They go back in time, they meet the Beatles.
They do time travel. Wow.
But they're dogs.
Oh wow.
Well it's Bella, our dog, and me.
Oh, that's great.
but also Zoe, they go on these time travel.
Zoe's
adventures.
Our other dog.
It's like a Sherman and Mr. Peabody.
No, yeah, only better. Anyway. Oh, stickers too. They gave us stickers.
I love stickers.
Go for the gusto.
Oh, I love that. I like that saying.
That just might be the new tagline for Trenton Waves. Trenton Waves. That. And hey, by the way, go for the gusto.
You can use it.
By Raymond Strife.
I stole it from Calvin and Hobbes. That was the first time I ever
heard
it.
Oh, okay.
What's Calvin Hobbes doing now?
I don't know.
Bill Watterson, he retired, right?
I think he did.
Like in the late 90s.
I think so.
I have a question about music. So in this time, what you doing? Are you playing anywhere?
It's been crippling depression since Corona. You know, shut down everything I was doing. And that was kind of hard. Me and Darnell have this record coming out called God's Plan. It's a vinyl. I never wanted to do it because it's so much work for just the two of us to do it. It's been like a year of us like raising money with pre-orders. Every time we find a place to press it, we can't afford their cheapest deal. Mm-hmm. We're so close right now, but every time we get close, it's like another world tragedy happens, and it's not the time. So it's going to happen. We only need like 5 more pre-orders, and I think my friends at GTG Records in Michigan are going to help put it out. But it's going to happen, but it's been like a bane of my existence forever. So that's the big thing we have coming out. I have a solo record I'm just going to put out of just a compilation of stuff I've done all over the years that hasn't been released. That I'm going to put out like next month just on the internet called The Old Name.
This is good that he's saying this. I have a company with my friend Rob called Feed the Music Livestream. That's what it's called. And we come to either, you know, your yard, your house, whatever. We get some venue going, whatever, small thing. And we videotape you guys live, but we're using like, you know, Skybird cameras. We're using like really good stuff. And we live stream it, put it behind a paywall, and the musician gets 100% of the money.
That's awesome.
100%.
That's great.
So if you want to do something.
Yeah.
We'll do like an hour show somewhere. It'll be me, Christina, Rob, and you and your group. That's it.
For sure. Yeah, we could
do
that.
And we live stream it. And then it's available after the live stream where people can give money to it and donate to it. And it's always up. If you go to feedthemusiclivestream.com, you can see we already did three shows. One was a pianist. One was singing just in Candlelight.
Oh, great.
Like a blues group. And this last one we did was Sephardic music.
Right, with a cello.
With a cello in these people's yards.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And people are making money.
Yeah.
Right? So feedthemusiclivestream.com. If you guys are out there right now and you're musicians and you're local in the New Jersey area, even Philly, we will come and just go to our site, hit contact, and we'll set something up. You don't have to spend any money.
That's a great thing. A big thing for me is the live portion of music is like why I got into it. It's really the only thing I do. I'm not good on the technical side. I don't make the beats. I don't play any instruments. I'm a vocals guy. I'm a lyrics guy. I don't have like great equipment for that, for like rap out of my house. I don't like to watch dudes who don't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's harder. Like acoustic guitar and singing, you can do that right to your phone. But like with the beats and rap coming out of PA sometimes, coming off your whatever you're playing, the speaker, it just doesn't sound great to a phone. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be
a great thing. Let's set something up.
Yeah, so if we can find a venue, then you can sing live. You can promote this album that you've been trying to get.
That would be great.
Get out there.
In front of the barn by us.
We can do it anywhere.
I'm sure Darnell would be interested to do something live too. Yeah. That'd be really cool to see him, honestly.
I'm telling you, it's been working great. People are streaming live music into their house, onto their phone. They're watching it live. They can comment live. And then they're doing it again afterwards. It just makes sense right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're about putting the money back into the musicians' hands. They're there for you. Let's be there for them.
Yeah, so let's make a date and figure that out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool.
Now, just to back off a second, because I like this Over Everything artwork on this CD called Over Everything. What is Clowns about?
It's kind of about people who co-opt a scene, which I think happens in Trenton a lot. Like, kind of act like they're a part of something they're
not. But they're not.
It's the kind of thing I don't like to talk about, but that's kind of what that band is stuff I don't like to talk about. It's my negativity stuff is in that band. That's
Wait a second. So you're telling me you have a band just for the sole purpose of talking about things that make you uncomfortable?
It's like my negative stuff.
It's an outlet.
Well, all right, let's listen to a little bit of Clowns. Hang on a second. Here we go.
Your dreams are wrong. Your goals are waste. You'll always take shit till the clouds are taste.
Yeesh. Wow.
That was
pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Mm.
Some hard feelings there.
Yeah, really, dude.
Perfect. Nailed it.
Thank you. I also want to talk about actually how this whole meeting got started is that we were on Facebook and you were promoting t-shirts. So tell us a little bit about the t-shirts.
Pizza hustle is a thing, a term I started a long time ago. I thought I invented, but you know, you can't invent anything. You know, there's somebody
I've never heard it before.
So. I see other people. Hustle.
I like that though.
Yeah, I have it tattooed on my arm actually.
It was taken.
Now I own an LLC that's called it, so I think I have a better right to it than the person.
Well, yeah, it's also on your arm forever.
Yeah, right. No one cares about that. I see that. It's something I didn't know what to do with. It's something a term I use in rap sometimes, and I was using it as like my booking company, which I don't like to say the name too much as opposed to the artist's name because it's DIY. It's not about me. It's about who I booked. You know, I sell merch on the road, but I started coming up with some good ideas for just kind of fashion, which is something I've gotten more into in my 30s that I didn't really care about growing up. What I look like now, I love putting like an outfit together. Well, you can't tell today.
I was going to say, dude, no offense.
Yeah, I'm good in the fall, man. You got to come see me in the fall. I'm a runway.
It's too hot now. It's too hot. Yeah.
Yeah, in the summer, it's all my best tank tops. Okay. But I actually, Goggles has been a big help with that too. Because he's
Wait a second. Tony Goggles has been a help with the fashion?
Not with what I put it on, but with the designs we make, which is mostly what he makes. Just different crew neck sweaters and bandanas, which have been doing really well. Like it's something I already wanted to do, and then everyone's got to cover their face now, so that worked out.
Mm.
And it's just pretty cool. Pizza Hustle, Pizza Gang stuff. We're doing hats. It's just a cool thing. And my friends that do it now, t-shirts, my friend Chuck, his name's Matt Charles. He does music. He plays in Trenton a lot too, but he's a Philly guy. I've known him for 15 years through music. You know, he was out in Richmond and we played punk shows together, and now he lives in Philly. And he started this awesome screen printing company, and I've been working with him forever. And then when COVID hit, I was doing, you know, music sales online and clothing sales online, and they all picked up because that's what they're doing. And it's been great for me because I'm not working in any other capacity, really. So Do It Now Shirts does this great thing where they streamline, they handle your internet store. And they put it up and they handle all the shipping. They really streamlined what I was doing, and they take their portion and I take my portion. But basically, they're doing all the legwork right now. They're just awesome. And I'm hoping that when things pick up again, I'll be doing a lot more vending. And that's where my end will come in a little more.
But that's great.
Right now, it's like they're why I got the LLC and everything, because it's like they streamlined it where I'm just might have collecting to pull money. Them up. They're the best.
I'll tell them that Raymond Strife sent me.
Absolutely.
Really?
Please do. Yeah.
They want to hang up
great
on
guys.
Me?
No, Johnny and Chuck, man.
Johnny and Chuck.
Everyone calls Chuck Matt. I'm the only one who calls him Chuck. I met him. His name's Matthew Charles. Oh, that's his artist name.
Right.
So I met him as Chuck. From touring all over the country, I have friends everywhere, and people have been so supportive that it's been doing pretty well, so I'm trying to keep pushing it.
That's great.
Keep coming up with new products.
I'm glad to hear that it's doing well during this time.
Yeah, it's been a big help. Yeah, you know, right. I never thought I'd be like designing clothes. I'm not designing anything, but just coming up with concepts to do different things. And it's just fun, and it's been cool, and it's something I can be passionate about while I can't do my main passion.
Right.
Listen, Randy Couture, you know Randy Couture is? Mm-hmm. All right, Randy Couture has Affliction. And he's always wanted to forget fighting. He's always wanted to be a fashion designer. Mm-hmm. And everything that he does to further his t-shirts.
Right.
Okay. Or his clothing. No one would ever call him a fashion designer.
Right.
He's the furthest thing from a fashion designer.
Right.
But everything he does is for Affliction. Affliction are just t-shirts with designs on them that are printed all over. That's all it is.
Right.
But he calls himself a fashion designer. So, I mean, why not?
It's what he's passionate about.
Yeah, he's designing the shirt.
I mean, like, it's hard to remember when you're working in a society, but there's no rules.
Right.
You want to do something, go out and do it and, you know, see how it goes. And
exactly
do it in your parameters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's kind of what this shutdown, you know, has taught me. Is like, wow, I can really do this.
So yeah,
I kind of went out to try a little harder with it.
Yeah. I think, like, if people looked at this with the right frame of mind, they'll see this opportunity in it. You know, we're not saying, oh, this is a great time, but it's not a great time, but you can make something good come out of it if you take the time that now you have and look for where there's a door open or something that maybe you were looking to do and you never had time to do. So,
yeah. 10 million more podcasts pop up.
Yeah.
Know, well, now speaking about podcasts, and by the way, there's only 800,000. Believe it or not, there's only 800,000.
I just listened to the Conan where they said those numbers.
Oh, there you go. Ray is on a podcast with Tony G and Sarah Casey. It's called What They Should Have Done. And it's just tell us a little bit about that real quick. Because I love that show. I'm hooked on that show. And
I really
it's not even on our network.
That.
It's not even on New Pod City's network.
Maybe it should be.
It should be.
We should fix that.
We won't charge you. You can do the free membership one.
Free is the language,
Tony.
Man. Let's do it.
I mean, you're even on our wall.
I think it comes down to more that Sarah and Tony are forced to do all the work. And I just kind of talk. So
what do you like, the voice of reason? Or what?
I think I'm. It's just like, if you notice a pattern here, it's just that like I have ideas and I'm surrounded by really talented people. And that's the only way they get done is like I think of something and then I'm just hashtag blessed enough to have people around me that get it done. And the whole What They Should Have Done was like a drunk idea I had. And it's like,
oh, that was your idea.
People were telling me to do a podcast and I was like, I don't want to do a podcast. I don't think I have anything to say. I'm not gonna, what am I gonna do? It's gotta be some deep thing. And then I was remembering like me and Tony, even when we disagree, after we see a movie, we end up at Mill Hill yelling in each other's face all night. What they should have done. What they should have done. Listen, even if I love the movie and he hates it, once he starts going with what they should have done, I start going, yeah, but you know what should have happened at the end? And I was like, yo, that's a good idea. Like what they should, that's a, because like there's a lot of podcasts that just kind of crap on movies, but let's try to be productive here and fix them a little.
I love the content and I love the show so much that the intro was annoying the hell out of me. That I actually produced an intro.
So you had to go and
just so
it.
That I could fix that for myself.
Yeah, yours is extra dynamic.
Thank
yours
you.
Definitely gets people going a little more than our Spanish flea.
What They Should Have Done by Tony. Show. Take it away, guys. No. Hey, movie nerds.
Yeah, it's, you know, yours is aggressive. It's like an over everything song.
Yeah.
Now, that much better.
I gotta want to take a fantastic.
Gets the
idea.
Adrenaline going.
Yeah.
But Tony G is like the wild man of the group. Sarah Casey's more of like the brainchild, and Ray brings that calm to the whole thing. Oh, that's what that show's so great about.
That's the only time in my life I bring the calm to anything.
If he's bringing the calm, how off the leash is Tony on that show? God.
How many episodes have you heard where he's quit the podcast?
I've heard every episode. I've already heard every episode.
If he has a little too much to drink at practice.
They reviewed John Travolta in Gotti.
Oh,
it was
hilarious.
They did it, but every time the artwork changes, which is a big no-no in podcasting, leave it to them to just say, oh, no, we're changing.
Oh, screw that.
Every artwork is different, and it applies to, like, when they did it, like, Sarah Casey's head was the red balloon. I think you were the clown.
Probably, yeah.
And Tony was a kid in a yellow raincoat.
Yeah,
or something.
That makes sense.
But it's their face. It's those faces on the wall. It's those faces.
He usually gives himself the most embarrassing.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, it, okay.
I couldn't do it without them because they make movies. It would be like such a cop-out to be like, oh, your movie sucked. Here's what you should have done, and I don't do it.
See, right. That's definitely your show.
I wanted to do it with them because they obviously have the know-how, and they bring a whole other dynamic. I mean, Goggles is just mad, but Sarah brings, like, there's stuff I don't notice. I can notice the editing and the colors and the music and think I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And then she brings a whole new dimension to it where I'm like, oh, man.
And you just shut up.
Yeah. I'm like, glad you're here because I don't know anything. I think every day my biggest thing is that I don't know anything. I think I know stuff, and every day I'm proven that I don't know anything.
I think that's
a
really good place to be.
I think that's where I'm at right now.
Because you're always looking to learn something.
In any of your performances, what would you say was the worst as far as audience participation, meaning it was forced participation on them, like heckling or something like that?
Oh, man.
Anybody ever throw anything at you?
They're all so blurred together. There's an aspect of like self-defamation to like the humor in my hip-hop stuff, so like sometimes people throw stuff at me and they like me. You know, it's like part of the...
Like a tomato or something?
Yeah, or this old, you know, empty beer cans.
Oh, okay. That's the hedge of cabbage or like vegetables.
If you're a rapper, you can just catch them or bat them away because I'm only holding one mic. I'm not playing a guitar or anything.
You ever do any freestyle?
Yeah, occasionally. I kind of don't do it as much in getting older. There's certain things.
How old are you?
I'm 37. Yeah, so that's wow. I might as well be 110 years old in rap years. It's one of those things where, like, when you, like, people, all they do is freestyle, and they're like, that's what they go out at night, and they get in a cypher, or they have friends, and they record, and they just freestyle off the top, and that's how I started. And then when you start, like, heavy touring, really committing to your rehearsed craft, I just kind of was like, I'm much better at this than that. Mm-hmm. And I started doing it less.
Gotcha.
And I have people who just like, that's it, man. They're the best at that. And some people can do both. And some people can freestyle great, but they can't put together an album. Hmm. Yeah, there's different aspects to it. But I do appreciate that part of the art form, no matter what. Some dudes are so good at it. But a lot of times when you're seeing someone of notoriety doing it, they're just doing something written anyway, for the most part. But there's some guys who just are so awesome at the top.
You know? Yeah, it's amazing.
Idea is one of my all-time favorites. Idea, who was on Rhymesayers, and he passed away like 10 years ago, but he was off the top so good. That's all he did. He won the Blaze Battle when he was 18, and then he could write an album that was like super emotional and deep. And he was one of my favorite rappers of all time.
Wow.
And I watch him freestyle, and I'm like, man, he's so good. I'm glad I don't do that really anymore. Big hassle.
Now, Podcastia, for those of you who aren't into the rap scene, you may know about the whole freestyling thing from Whose Line Is It Anyway with Wayne Brady, how he would just come up with stuff that fit, it rhymed, it made sense.
Yeah, it's an improv.
It's the same kind of mindset. I can't think that fast.
Yeah, I'm not good at that.
I can't play blackjack because I can't add that fast.
You can't play what?
Blackjack. You know, when they put the cards on the table and they're like, two.
You're
going
to relate that to
rapping?
Well,
it's like thinking really fast on the spot where people are watching you. I'm like, quick, come say something or do something. And I'm like, I can't add.
It helps to zone out, you know? Like, you know, sometimes, like, my best times ever doing it were like I kind of stop thinking. You know, it's like almost like a secondary.
Really? It just comes out. Huh?
Yeah, once you're doing it, it's like you can get a good one. Once you have a groove going.
So, Ray, would you like to stick around for a little something we call plugs?
Sure.
Cracking Waves Plugs.
Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Trenton Waves, TrentonWaves.com. Visit us on all social media platforms at Trenton Waves. I believe it's just Trenton Waves. There's nothing in the, like, that's the different. It's just Trenton Waves.
You're asking me?
I don't know. I guess
I have to ask you every day. I'm like, what is it again?
At Trenton Waves, hashtag Trenton Waves, facebook.com/Trenton Waves. You know, you get the idea.
Podcast. Is it like Trenton Waves podcast?
What?
Do you have a Trenton Waves podcast one?
Yeah, Trenton Waves podcast. We're doing it right now. What are you talking about?
Is it TrentonWaves.com? Is it TrentonWavesPodcast.com?
No, TrentonWaves.com.
Okay.
We have the podcast.
I get it.
And you can go in, because they're listening right now, so they already got that far.
Okay.
Now, as far as to visit us on other social media platforms, which they don't probably have, is it's at Trenton Waves. So just go to that.
Gotcha.
All right. So, Ray, where can people find you? Where can people know you? Where can people see you? Where can people hear you? Where can they go online to experience all things Raymond Strife?
Oh, RaymondStrife.com is the gateway to all of it, you know? And then I'm on everything, you know? Facebook, I have Raymond Strife Raps, Raymond Strife Ill Omega. You type in Raymond Strife, I'm pretty much the only thing that's going to come up in your Google search. I often tell people to check out YouTube just because I have like 1,000 music videos that are really good and they don't get seen enough. Probably, but it's Eric Backlund from Sketchisms Media and Tony Goggles. They both do a lot of my music videos and they come out really incredible. And it's mostly not because of me or my performance. It's mostly usually because of what they've done. So they're pretty awesome to see.
He's into that self-degradation.
I'm at this point, it used to be low self-esteem, and now it's just me being realistic. Just like, what?
Oh, come on, dude.
could call it humble. Well, humble.
You're not that much of a loser. I would never even have you on the show.
No, not at all. And the t-shirts? The fashion?
Well, it's Pizza Hustle, but I don't own that domain. So right now, the best way to do that is to find Pizza Hustle on Facebook or go to RaymondStrife.com and click the link.
Oh, okay.
It's both in there, but it's like one of those links where it's not
okay, so Pizza Hustle, they can find at RaymondStrife.com.
Yep.
And they can go to it from there.
Yep.
As you said, it's the gateway to everything.
Yep. Oh, okay.
And the Facebook Pizza Hustle has a link to the store, too. So
now, the font looks like the Pizza Hut font.
Yeah, I'm waiting to get a cease and desist on
that. No, they don't own a font. They don't own the letter.
Good to know. That's definitely where that design came from.
I'm going
to
get a letter from a lawyer saying, yeah, I'm sorry, we own Helvetica or whatever.
Yeah, right. That's Goggles too, man. Like when I was booking shows and I was calling it Pizza Hustle, he came up with the logo.
Oh, he did that?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. He's a great designer.
Over it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tony's great.
Yes.
Good stuff.
All right, so my last question is, imagining your dream Trenton, what does it look like?
Trenton, I mean, it's a process. I love Trenton the way it is, and it's got a lot of problems, but I don't want to get all crazy with you guys, but I wouldn't mind some of the police being a little less dominant in ways that they are. But I think it's a beautiful place, and I think it's almost nice that some people discount it as not, because it's like our own hidden thing here, and mm-hmm. it's beautiful, and whoever gets it, and whoever doesn't. And you go to Arnold Knight, and it's 10,000 people here. It's not like that secret, you know, but I think it's great. I think it only get better. People worry about gentrification too on the other end, and I think there's ways to improve while keeping it great for the people that actually live here. So I think it's just a process, and I think there's no real such thing as perfection, so it's a beautiful process so far, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that it's already great the way it is, and I love hearing that, and I knew you were going to say that, so, you know, everything can do with improvement, but we're really happy the way it is now, too.
Not to keep, like, going to other interviews you guys did, but, like, Bernard talking about, like, trash pickup and stuff is really great. And another thing could be improved on is slumlords, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of, like, when that happens is what I don't think he really talked about. When you see a pile of trash on a corner in Chambersburg, it's because there's an abandoned lot there that someone owns that they're holding out to sell or whatever, but they're not doing the upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the garbage is from them gutting a different house. And instead of going through all the right channels to get the garbage, they dump it. And that's not the people who live here.
Right.
That's those are outsiders. That's the people who are taking advantage of the rules here. And just from my experience renting here, there's a lot of people making money off stuff that they could be doing a lot better for this city.
Mm-hmm.
They could be taking care of their empty lots or their vacant houses a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you see the people talk about, oh, this whole block's abandoned. This, and someone owns that. Someone who doesn't live here owns that. The city doesn't own that, and people don't own that. Like, some dude is waiting for someone to offer him a couple $1,000 to make it a parking lot owns that.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding out. And I never understood how they're not scrutinized more.
Right.
If you own something in cities, there's rules to your upkeep. I don't understand how these people don't see consequence for that. So
yeah.
I'm not there doing it, you know, and I know working here is a hard job, and whatever status you work at, like whoever's in charge of that, I'm sure they have a really hard job mm-hmm. sticking it to people like that. But I right. think that could be done a little better too.
Yep.
I agree too.
Like that.
All right, Raymond Strife. I think that's all we have to say.
I'm so glad you came on the show.
Yeah, this is really
nice.
It's
like a serendipity.
Nice to talk to you guys. My first time meeting you, but I've met Frank very briefly in real life before, so it's just great to hang out with you guys.
Yeah,
it was awesome having you.
All right, so this has been another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.